Tonight, I have an eerie true story for you. A family moves into a historic townhouse in Brooklyn. At first, everything seems perfectly normal, but one day they unlock a strange door hidden in the basement, and that's when everything changes. It begins with odd noises echoing through the house. Then come the apparitions. Shadowy figures appear over their beds. Voices begin calling family members by name, and the family is terrorized by this maniacal laughter that seems to be coming from deep in the basement. I'm gonna tell you right now, if you're someone that gets creeped out by basements or scary basement stories, hold on to your hat. Because oh my goodness, is this story bizarre and terrifying. Let's get right into it. Grab your blankets, get cozy. It's about to get very eerie. This is a haunting in Brooklyn. In the early 1990s, Elaine Mercado had been searching for a house for a while. One would become available that would seem perfect, but it would be too expensive. Another house would pop up in their price range, but it would be way too small. Coming from a smaller, cramped apartment in New York, Elaine and her husband were really wanting something spacious. The two had two preteen daughters, Karen and Christine. So when a historic townhouse in Brooklyn became available, Elaine quickly jumped on it. It was big enough and in their price range. She immediately put a down payment on the house. The inside definitely needed some work. To understand the story, it helps to picture the setting. Brooklyn is one of the oldest and most historic parts of New York City. Known for its charming brownstones and elegant townhouses that have stood for well over a century. Today, these historic townhomes are highly sought after for their character and craftsmanship. Many of these places feature original woodwork, ornate staircases, decorative fireplaces, and architectural details that simply can't be replicated in modern construction. Walking through neighborhoods like these can feel like stepping back in time. The kind of place where every house has a story and history of its own. This townhouse in particular needed some TLC. Elaine toured the house, but instead of really loving it, she said it was more of a "we have to make this work" type of situation, describing it as kind of a last resort. They had been searching so long, and it was a place she felt they could fix up and make their own. Elaine said the house had charm and a lot of great things about it, so the Mercados moved into the townhouse. Their daughters would now each have their own bedrooms, so they thought this would really be an upgrade. But not everyone was so thrilled about this move. Elaine's brother Joe, who came to see the house and helped move the family in, immediately got an uneasy feeling from the house. He saw his sister so excited and was unsure of what to say to her as she had already put this down payment on the home and they were moving in. But he instantly felt something disturbing in the house, especially in the basement, going so far as to say he would not move into this house, and from the beginning knew that something was attached to it. Many of the interviews from this haunting are from Elaine, Christine, and Joe, so that's where we're going to hear most of this story from their perspective. So after move-in, the family is settling in, and Karen and Christine are happy to have their own space. Christine takes a bedroom upstairs. Karen had her room set up in the basement. One side was space for a bedroom, and the other side of the basement is where the family set up their storage and laundry room. And from the second she saw them, Elaine had an eerie feeling. In the basement, by the laundry room, there were these small little doors, 5 feet above the ground. Behind these strange little doors was the unfinished dirt area of the basement. No one could explain why they were there. What were they for? Elaine, along with her brother Joe, both had an extremely bad feeling about this area of the basement and those doors. She didn't want to touch them, let alone open them. This feeling of dread in this area was so strong, Elaine told her daughters, "Do not open those doors or go in there." But not long after moving in, being curious pre-teenagers, Karen and Christine were exploring the basement. On this particular day, Karen dares Christine, the youngest Mercado, to open the small doors and crawl in. So she does. The dirt room, as they called it, was located on the back wall of the basement. Against her mom's wishes, Christine opens up the small doors, slowly jumps up from a cupboard beneath the doors, and crawls into the dirt space slowly. This room wasn't big enough to stand, so she could only crawl on her hands and knees. And the floor is dirt, soil. She said it smelled like decay. With her sister behind her, Christine crawled halfway in, got a terrible feeling, and then backed out, never making it fully in, never making it to the back wall. Elaine didn't want those doors open as she felt it could be inviting something in or opening the door to something dark. So when Elaine learns that her daughters had opened up these doors and gone in, she is angry. She quickly goes down to the basement, shuts the doors, and warns them to never go in there again. But after this, the activity started. One afternoon, Elaine's husband is at work and the daughters are gone for the day. So she is at home alone in the kitchen doing some housework. When suddenly, she hears loud footsteps, quickly going down the stairs from the second floor to the first floor. She knows she's supposed to be in the house by herself, so she quickly makes her way over to the staircase, looks up, and doesn't see anyone. She knew she heard footsteps. She stands there a few more moments and doesn't hear anything else, so she goes back to doing dishes. A few moments later, she hears those same footsteps loudly running from the stairs from the first floor to the basement. She's scared and screams out, "Who is it? Who's there?" And then slowly walks over to the basement stairs, looks down, and again, there's no one in sight. Elaine is really enjoying the house, but admits that she always felt a presence. She never felt alone. She always sensed that someone was right behind her at all times. And it was always watching her closely. Like it was standing right behind her, inches from the back of her neck, staring at her. Elaine is starting to realize there is something wrong with this house. But at the same time, there's such an immense amount of pressure to make it work. And I think this is a feeling we all have. We want to feel like we've made the right decisions. We want to feel like the house we chose was the right place. But this feeling, what she's hearing, is impossible to dismiss as her imagination. Elaine worked as an emergency room nurse. She wasn't someone who rattled easily. She spent her days in the middle of chaos, making split-second decisions and helping people through some of the worst moments of their lives. She was resilient, level-headed, and used to staying on her toes. But there was something about this house that she couldn't explain. A few days later, it was late one evening. Elaine is in the living room reading alone. When clear as day, she hears someone shout for her. "Mom. Mommy." She hears the voice. She calls out for Christine and says, "Did you just call me?" Christine is down the hall in another room at this point. She walks down and says, "No, I heard you call for me." And as the two are in the living room together, they hear it. A voice yelled from the basement, calling out, "Christine." And after, they heard this strange maniacal laughter. They wait a few seconds, and then they hear it again. This otherworldly voice calling out for Christine, and then menacing laughter. Christine said the voice sounded evil. The tone was mocking and angry. Both Elaine and Christine hear this. They're terrified. No one is supposed to be in the basement. So this wasn't a family member. They slowly begin to make their way to the basement door, trying to listen closer. And of course, when they finally work up the courage to look around, they don't find anyone or anything in the basement. The house had quickly become incredibly disturbing and uncomfortable for the family. Everyone, except for Elaine's husband, he did not experience anything in the house. But for Elaine and the daughters, it was getting bad, and it was about to become so much worse for Elaine. A few nights later, one night, as she is asleep in bed, Elaine wakes up to the feeling of a weight pushing down onto her chest and body, shoving her into the mattress, actually watching the bed compress under this pressure. In this, she's trying to scream or get away from this attack, but she can't even move or speak. She's paralyzed. Almost like when you're in a dream and something bad is happening to you, but no noise will come out when you try to scream. Like that. Then, within just a few moments, it was over and suddenly she could move again. Horrifyingly, these suffocating fits and dreams started happening more and more. Some nights, these experiences would happen all night long for Elaine. The only thing Elaine knew to do was avoid sleeping altogether, and she would just stay up all night, sort of roaming around the house, taking laps, trying to keep herself awake. Elaine began going into her shifts early in the morning as an ER nurse, not having slept at all, and began to question, "What is wrong with me?" So we have the combination of the activity in the house and also sleep deprivation, which is a terrible mixture. Elaine is becoming more convinced that something paranormal is at play here. Early one morning, Elaine hears her daughter Karen screaming from the basement, frantically calling out for her. She quickly runs down the stairs, turns, opens the door to Karen's room in the basement, and sees her daughter sitting on the bed, screaming. And they both watch as Karen's quilt is slowly being pulled off the bed by unseen hands, dragging down the bed onto the floor. Not like it was falling, it was like something was dragging it off the bed. Karen jumps out of bed, runs out of the room. Christine runs down to see what the commotion is, but they're all petrified and don't know what to make of this. It seemed that with every passing day, it was just becoming worse and more intense. It got so bad in the basement, so uncomfortable, Karen began sleeping upstairs on the couch in the family room. Another morning, after her husband had left early for work, Elaine wakes up to the sound of a very loud thudding sound coming from above her, in the ceiling. Christine and Karen also both wake up, hearing this loud sound, and begin calling out for their mom. They all come together in the second story hallway and listen. It sounded like loud footsteps going from one end of the attic to the other. The attic was supposed to be empty. They're scared, so they all run out to the front doorstep and call Elaine's husband, asking him to come home and check it out, try to find what this sound is, because it truly sounds like someone is up there. He comes home very annoyed with them. As we covered up until this point, he hasn't really believed that there is anything going on in the house. He goes upstairs to the attic to look around and finds nothing. It's an empty attic. He tells Elaine that this is nonsense and dismisses her and the daughters. Even as he was turning to leave to go back to work, back down the stairs, they heard it again, the loud footsteps. They all look up to the ceiling, but he says, "I'm leaving to go back to work." For whatever reason, Elaine said he couldn't or wouldn't see the activity in this house. This is interesting to me, as it's not just a man thing, as Elaine's brother was very much aware that the house was haunted. He felt it from the beginning, not even wanting his sister to live there. He would never live there. It was at this time that Elaine and her husband divorced, and he moved out of the townhouse. And after this change, Elaine felt the house was a bit more comfortable. She said the house felt full of light again. It seemed the activity really settled down, and both Elaine and her daughters felt much more at home there. They did some redecorating, repainting a few rooms, and the house suddenly felt pretty homey for a while. With the activity dying down, Karen decided she wanted to move into the attic. They hadn't heard any strange noises coming from up there in months, and it was a big space. While they were moving Karen up there, Christine noticed a small door, like a cupboard under the stairs, sort of a Harry Potter type of vibe in this attic. So she opens up the door to find a storage area filled with items clearly left from the previous residence. One thing that stuck out to Christine was an old cardboard box that was taped. For some reason, she was drawn to it. She opened it up, and inside she found an old wedding dress. She's really interested by this and takes this package down to show her mom. And Elaine sees that this very small wedding dress is strangely wrapped in newspaper from 1952. It was also clear that this dress was made for someone very small, shorter, and very thin. She doesn't get a very good feeling from this dress and wonders why it's rolled up in newspaper and stuck upstairs. So she decides to take it outside and put it in the trash, not wanting that negativity in the house. Time passes, over a year goes by, and everything had been very calm in the townhouse. Thinking that the strange activity was something of the past, the family was really moving on with their lives. Elaine had met and began dating a man named Matthew. The two had really hit it off. Karen and Christine are in school, growing up, spending time with friends. The house felt really nice. Until randomly, one night, Elaine and the daughters are sitting in the family room watching TV, when all of a sudden, it started back up. It was like one second it was calm, and the next second, they began noticing these strange noises, hearing footsteps. The house felt alive again. They began to hear those voices calling their names, that feeling of being watched. All of a sudden, they were uncomfortable again. At this point, Elaine calls Matthew, asking him to come over as she and the girls are scared. This is very jarring, as for the previous year, it had been so peaceful. He comes over and Elaine sits him down to tell him about the house, what they experienced when they first moved in, and now it seemed to be starting back up. She's telling him this, kind of expecting him to think she's crazy and get up and leave, but he doesn't. That night, Elaine and the girls go upstairs to sleep, and Matthew said he would stick around for a while, watch some TV in the family room downstairs to help them feel better. Like they weren't alone in the house. After watching TV for a bit, the house was quiet and Matthew falls asleep. He has a dream like he has never had in his life, extremely vivid. In this dream, he's trying to open the door of a room that he was in, but he couldn't open it. This is the sort of dream where he's half asleep, half awake. So he tries to move to wake himself up, but he can't. Something was holding him down. Just like Elaine experienced, he couldn't move his body, he couldn't scream. In this dream, as he finally opens this door, he walks into a room to see a skeletal man lying on a dirt floor. And just as he sees him, this flash of this image, Matthew wakes up in a sweat. He tells Elaine about this dream, and he's describing what it felt like, and that is what she experienced, being held down by this immense pressure, not being able to move. And this is validating for her. Now someone else is experiencing this in the house. It wasn't just her and her girls. Especially with her ex-husband, who didn't see or didn't maybe want to see what she was going through. This confirmed that she wasn't alone. the strange occurrences picked right back up. One day, Christine is upstairs in her bedroom when she heard something. Movement. She walks out into the hallway, around the staircase, looks down and sees her mom sitting on the bottom of the stairs, sort of hunched over. It was a little dark, so she calls out to her mom, "Hey, what are you doing?" "Mom?" She couldn't understand why her mom wasn't acknowledging her or turning around. As Christine gets a bit closer, she realizes this is not her mom. This woman hunched over on the staircase. This is an apparition. As soon as she sees, she backs away and runs down the hall, calling for her mom, terrified. Christine tells her what she saw. This ghostly woman sitting at the bottom of the stairs, hunched over. And this is a really big moment because this was actually the first time that an entity is seen in the home. Up until this point, they had only felt and heard them. Elaine loved the holiday season, so when Halloween came, she threw a big party, inviting lots of friends and family. There were dozens of people there. The house was filled with guests. And one of Elaine's work friends named Lisa came. When Lisa gets to the house, Elaine welcomes her, offers her a drink. But as the night goes on, Elaine looks over and sees that Lisa almost looks sick. She's standing by herself, staring towards the basement stairs. Elaine believes that she's sick from maybe the drinks, so she walks over and asks if she's okay. And Lisa is just staring down into the basement, locked in on it. Elaine's worried, saying, "Are you okay? Is everything all right?" And Lisa just looks at her and says, "Elaine, your house is haunted. Have you seen the woman?" Lisa says, "There is a very tiny, little, skinny, petite lady, and she's haunting this house." Elaine immediately thinks back to the dress they found in the attic. This dress had to be for a woman who was very small, slender, and petite. And her daughter seeing a female figure on the stairs. Lisa tells Elaine to get the house cleansed, urging her to take care of it. That very same night, Karen and Christine are sleeping together on the second floor. They've been asleep for a bit when suddenly, Christine hears something enter the room. She looks over and hovering over her sister Karen is a tall, misty, dark figure. Christine is terrified. She turns back over and closes her eyes, too scared to look or move. Karen is still asleep at this time, but this thing is right on top of her. That same night, in Elaine's room, she feels a female presence enter her room and then feels something on top of her. Her head and chest are shoved into the mattress. This horrific, angry entity continues to push her into the bed. Moments pass, then it finally releases her. It seems the entire family was attacked on this night. And this was really a breaking point for Elaine. She confides with her brother, telling Joe that she just wants to put the house up for sale. She can't do it anymore. This haunting, this entity in the home was affecting everything. Her well-being, her daughter's lives, everyone's sleep. As she's trying to decide what to do next, one day, Elaine is taking out the trash and sees her next-door neighbor. She figures, what does she have to lose? So she asks this neighbor, has he ever heard anything strange happening in her house? Telling him that they've been experiencing a lot since moving in. And this neighbor says, well, yeah, I have. It's a pretty horrible story. He said that when he was younger, he'd babysat for the children of the couple who'd sold Elaine the house. The son had married, but they were pretty young, so they actually moved into the attic where Karen lived now and where they heard those footsteps. And tragically, one night, the young wife, they referred to as a tiny little thing, slipped and fell in the house, hitting her head, and she died. Right there in the townhome. This neighbor says he remembers this woman as she was very beautiful and saw her when they first got married standing on the front steps in a tiny little white wedding dress. Elaine thinks back to her daughters finding the wedding dress in the attic, the female presence in the home that was angry. Christine seeing the woman on the stairs, and it's all starting to click for Elaine. And in 1995, she decides to reach out to a medium. As soon as the medium got to the house to sort of tour the place and get a sense of what was going on, this medium immediately goes straight downstairs. She walks right over to those two small doors, puts her head inside the dirt room, and looks around. During this, she urges the entities in the home to go into the light, telling them that they are dead. This isn't the place for them anymore. She says this over and over, and she performs sort of a cleansing on the house. After this cleansing, the very next morning, Elaine woke up and realized the house felt different. Better. It wasn't just her, the entire family, the daughters, her brother Joe, and her boyfriend Matthew, all felt something had shifted. The house had changed, the air was fresh, it felt lighter and brighter. Whatever was there was gone. And the activity never returned. What I find so interesting about this haunting was the flow of the activity. The house felt so eerie at first, then opening the doors in the basement seemed to really unleash something. Then the activity gets worse, then there's a divorce, the energy shifts in the house, and the activity stops for a year, and then it comes back. It's just interesting how it all progressed. I find it fascinating is that we've covered so many hauntings over the years and no two cases seem to play out the same way. In some stories, the activity simply stops for no apparent reason. In others, families bring in priests, religious officials, and paranormal investigators, performing multiple blessings and cleansings, yet the disturbances continue. But in the Mercado case, a single cleansing reportedly brought everything to an end. When you step back and compare these stories side by side, all the details, the experiences, and even the outcomes, they can be so dramatically different. Whatever you believe, one thing is certain, no two hauntings seem to follow the same script. I gotta know which part of this story creeps you out the most. Let me know in the comments. And let me know where in the world you are tuning in from. I always love to hear. Next episode, I've got so much more mystery coming your way.